Hello, I'm Diana Munar. This is the Telescope Club, the official podcast coverage of Olean High School's happenings. This month, we are interviewing Abby Greenberg about anxiety. She has written a prominent book about anxiety called The Anxiety Sisters, which has helped many people understand and learn more about anxiety. Anxiety is also a big topic for high schoolers around the world. We hope that you will find something useful information from our podcast. Nice to meet you, Abby Greenberg.
It's so nice to meet you. What a nice introduction. Thank you.
What is the backstory of the Anxiety Sisters since you and your other partner?
Maggie, yes. Well, both of us have been suffering from anxiety since we're small children. Mm-hmm. Although back when we were in high school and college, you know, mental health issues weren't spoken about as much in the mainstream as they are now. Yeah. So there's been some progress there in that nobody knew that it was called anxiety, you know, or they talked about depression a little bit, but there was no understanding of, you know, panic attack was not in the vernacular mm-hmm. when I was in high school, but I was having them. Yeah. So I just thought I was dying of something, truthfully. And so did Maggie. And we met in college our freshman year and became very close friends, mostly bonding over the fact that we were both really sick from anxiety. She had terrible stomach issues and I was having all the palpitations and the sweating and those types of symptoms. And we just both figured we had some terrible disease. We didn't know what it was. And then over time we started in with, you know, we found therapists to help us. We got diagnosed around the same time. And then decided when we were on a bus to Manhattan from New Jersey, and we were sitting talking on the bus, and you know, we were kind of loud talkers. Anxiety sisters tend to be loud talkers. So we were talking pretty loudly about the fact that we were taking a new medication for our anxiety. And the woman in the seat in front of us turned around and said, "I couldn't help but overhear what you're talking about. I take that same medicine. Do you have this side effect?" Mm-hmm. And we started talking. And before we got to New York, the entire bus was talking about anxiety. And we got off the bus and we're walking down 9th Avenue, and I said to Maggie, I can't believe how many perfect strangers were willing to talk about something so personal as anxiety and what medication they might take to help them manage their mental health and all this stuff. I was just shocked. And she said, "Well, yeah, we're anxiety sisters." Mm-hmm. And it stuck. I mean, she's just announced it. And I said, "Oh my gosh, that's what we are. And we have to, you know, we have to get out there and make a community that's safe for people." At the time, they didn't exist when we started the Anxiety Sisterhood. And we wanted to write a book from the perspective of the sufferer, not from the perspective of a clinician or a doctor, you know, sort of that talking head that goes, wah, wah, wah. That makes me more anxious, honestly. So we wanted to put a book out there that was real and talked about the real experiences of anxiety and depression. And we interviewed over 300 people ages 18 to 94 from all over the world to find out what people's experience of anxiety was. And it was an incredible experience. Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason why people don't like usually talk about anxiety openly?
Well, probably the shame factor, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so used to talking about my anxiety in public now, there's not too many things I'm afraid to say. Yeah. But in the beginning, it was scary. You know, in the beginning, and I remember the first time that someone asked me if I took medication for my anxiety. And I remember I turned all red and I got nervous. I thought, oh no, what if I admit this? Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I did, because number one, a lot of people take medication for their mental health. And number two, why should we be ashamed of doing something to take care of ourselves? We're not ashamed if we take insulin for diabetes, or, you know, if we take medication for an illness. But yet there's still some stigma around taking medication for mental health issues. So that's getting much better. But, you know, that was the idea, to destigmatize and make it accessible to people. And since then, we've had over 250,000 people join the Anxiety Sisterhood. And people from all walks of life and all ages will say to me, "Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that so many people mm-hmm. have this and, yeah. and deal with it."
Does writing help to cope with anxiety?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to have social anxiety like 2 years ago, yeah. but then I used to write it all in details and everything, and it helped a lot.
Writing is definitely good yeah. therapy, mm-hmm. you know, and writing the Anxiety Sisters Survival Guide was my own survival guide.
Yeah.
And I have to be honest with you, sometimes I'll call Maggie, we still talk every day, and I'll call her up and tell her I'm having a panic attack. She goes, go to chapter three. So it's very, it feels like a blessing or a gift when your own journey of walking through the fire and how you survived it can become other people's help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's to me particularly special.
Yeah.
I just have a question about, so you said when you were younger, you didn't really know like what this was. So when you would like get a panic attack or something like that, what did you do to like since you didn't know, how did you kind of cope with that?
I got sick to my stomach. I had my heart. I mean, I had all the symptoms and I didn't know what it was. And I really thought that I was dying. I just figured I have some terrible disease that causes this, because there was no conversation around that. You know, I mean, part of Anxiety Sisters is that we've gone around the country and we've talked to a lot of high schools and a lot of colleges and universities, because we want people, young people, to understand that, you know, this is part of being human. I mean, anxious is human. We're built with it. And the way our world is now, with all this stimulation coming from every direction, think about it. It's not surprising that a lot of us spend a lot of time in fight or flight when just information is bombarding you from every angle and every sense. So we really don't want anyone to have the experience that we had, which was spend a lot of years afraid to leave the house. I was agoraphobic for a while, which meant I couldn't leave. I was too afraid. I thought I would die if I walked outside. I used to spend a lot of time hooked up to a heart monitor on my computer because I was sure my heart was going to stop. You know, Maggie was afraid of elevators, and she lived in a 14-story building in Manhattan, so she didn't leave her apartment. We had these real issues, and part of the problem was that no one talked about it. No one said, oh, this is anxiety, this is a phobia, there are things you can do, it's treatable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is. Anxiety is treatable like other physical ailments. It's the same.
Yeah. If it's not too personal, did your family ever like figure out like what was like wrong with you or anything?
No. It's not too personal. And they did not figure it out. My parents learned about my obsessive compulsive disorder when they read my book that came out, when
mm-hmm.
The Anxiety Sisters Survived. Well, they read the book when it came out and found out on page 52 that their daughter has obsessive compulsive disorder and taps on tires.
After all those years.
Oh, yeah, I was, you know, part of it is generational in that we didn't share
mm-hmm.
as much with our parents as later generations do. But also I was really shamed. I figured something's really wrong with me. My brain is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
I come up with these things that no other, my brother doesn't seem to be crazy like I am. That's what I really thought. But I thought I was going to end up in some kind of an institution. I was scared of that. And I was like, well, I am not going to show my parents this, because then they're going to send me to doctors and that's it.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of hiding, and hiding creates more shame. And so I was in a big spiral of shame for lots of years, and it was really very painful. And I can talk about it comfortably now, but it was very, very painful. I had a really hard childhood and young adulthood
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Do you know like the cause of your anxiety at a young age?
You know, trying to figure out what causes your anxiety is a little bit like trying to figure out which ant bit you if you step in a hill. There's so many causes. I mean, I'll tell you what I suspect. So I know hormones
mm-hmm.
have a lot to do with it for me, because I have wonky hormones, so that definitely affects anxiety. I've genetics. There's OCD in my mom's family. My father, I believe, has a decent amount of obsession in his, he wouldn't call it that, but I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's been that. And my mother has some what they call BFRBs, or the repetitive behaviors like hair pulling,
mm-hmm.
trick. So, you know, there's anxiety in my family. So I think it was modeled for me, as well
mm-hmm.
as genetic, plus hormones, and plus I don't have a good thyroid. I have lousy thyroid numbers, and they do know there's a connection between your thyroid and the triggering of panic attacks particularly, so there's that.
I never knew anxiety could be like genetic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Particularly
yeah.
obsessive compulsive disorder, panic,
mm-hmm.
You know, phobias
yeah.
can be, believe it or not, genetic. Like they've done identical twin studies,
mm-hmm.
where the twins are separated, don't live near each other or anything, and they both have the same exact weird phobia.
Wow.
Like mushrooms or something that's not your standard, you know, fear of closed in spaces or heights, but something unusual.
Mm-hmm. What are other ways that might help a person to cope with anxiety?
Well, I take it down to science, which is this. Your nervous system has two responses. It's always in either one or the other. So there's this sympathetic response, which is called the stress response, fight or flight, the thing that makes your heart rev and your body release all those hormones like norepinephrine and cortisol and all these adrenaline and all the things that make your heart race and your hands shake and everything. And then the other mode is rest and digest, or the parasympathetic response. And so my goal in life is to get myself into that rest and digest response as much as possible. And there's so many ways that are cheap and easy to do that. And the easiest is breathing. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, particularly if you do a long exhale, right? If your exhale is longer than your inhale, that signals your brain that you must be safe if you can take a deep breath, right? Because think about it. If you're being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, how are you breathing? You're panting, right? And you're breathing from the top of your lungs and it's very shallow. If you take a deep breath all the way into your belly, then you're not panting. So you kind of reverse, you psych out your body. You, by reversal, you say, oh, see that? We're not panicked. We're breathing deeply. There's nothing wrong. Everything's okay. And your body will then go back into the rest and digest. So I'm a big believer in breathing. Although, you know, Maggie says to me, yeah, but I hyperventilate when I do that. So not everything works for everybody and different things work on different days. I definitely like to meditate. I do those guided meditations that are free on the internet. You know, I love those. I find different voices that are soothing to me and I just put my headphones on and listen to that. And also a very big believer in nature as a soother for anxiety. A walk in the woods or, you know, in the neighborhood, you know, near something that I can stare at and think about my senses, like, you know, what things smell like, what it tastes like, what it looks like, that will distract my mind from anxiety. So those are some of my favorites. But I mean, we have hundreds of techniques in the book because, yeah, you know, one size does not fit all.
Does yoga help?
Yoga's fantastic. Yeah. I love yoga. And I'm very mad at our editors. They had to cut. We had 10 yoga poses for anxiety sufferers. And we had one of our friends drew cartoons with the poses. And it was so great. And they said, no, we don't have room. So,
yeah.
Bummer.
Does anxiety differ in different age groups?
Yes,
why,
for sure.
Why do like younger age groups face it more?
I think it's a hormonal issue. I think at times in our lives when our hormones are in flux is when we're most prone to anxiety and depression. So like you'd expect, puberty, right? People's hormones are going crazy. So that would also, pregnancy, after pregnancy, childbirth, right? I had terrible postpartum depression, which seems to go with anxiety for some people. I got lucky on that one, I guess. When you get older and you go through menopause, and men too go through their own version of menopause, their hormones change. And so there's different times in your lifespan when your hormones are really in flux. And they know that, you know, 13 to 22 is kind of the big one, when every hormone in your body is rearranging itself, doing gymnastics. So that's why they really know now that anxiety begins in childhood, really.
Since you said, again, might be personal.
No worries.
Since you said that anxiety is genetic, like genetical ways, do you think your kids also?
They all have it.
Oh, they all
do. I have 3 kids and they all have anxiety. Oh. None of them have obsessive compulsive disorder, which I'm really relieved about. Because that one I struggle with mightily. It's a hard disease. But they all have panic. They all are obsessed with health issues like I am. You know, I'm what they called in the old days a hypochondriac, where now they have a really nice name for it. I think they call it illness anxiety disorder, which is people who obsess about health and dying and all that kind of stuff. And all my kids have that.
Your kids have a big helping hand because you went through a lot. So they have,
Yeah, and cool. My husband also has anxiety. So we're just one big anxious family. we all wind up and spin around the house. I think my cats are anxious, actually.
What's like your experience with like people who don't have anxiety? like maybe how they act, like do you think they act differently around somebody who does, or like treat them differently?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think that all human beings get afraid of things that we don't understand. So I have compassion for people who don't have anxiety and come in contact with someone like me who, that's basically the fundamental condition of me is anxiety. So I do have compassion for the fact that they don't know what to say or do. If I'm having a panic attack, you know, and now they're under control, but when they weren't, and I used to have a lot of them on a daily basis, you know, I think it was scary to people in my family and friends, and you know, it was scary. They didn't know what it was, and they weren't sure what to say or do. And even still now, you know, I still have to tell my husband, we're married 32 years, and I still have to tell him, you know, when I'm anxious, don't try to touch me. I'm one of those people, some people love to be touched and swaddled, mm-hmm. Not me. If I'm having a panic attack, don't touch me. I need just as much air as I can get and as much space as I can get. So, you know, yeah, I think people who don't have anxiety, I think that's so lucky, but then again, they have something else, I'm sure. No, nobody gets out of this life unscathed. So I've discovered that, you know, we all have something.
Did your siblings inherit anxiety?
My brother has anxiety as well.
Yeah. Did you two ever talk about it when you were like little kids? Or?
We still haven't talked about it.
Oh, wow. Do you know why?
Yeah, I think he, you know, he's private. He's a guy, he's private. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't like to admit that he might have any foibles.
Did you know that he was going through the same thing as you when you were child?
And he didn't go through it to the extreme that I did. Okay. He doesn't have OCD. He never had depression. He had the panic.
Did you read your book?
He did. Well, he said that he didn't have time to read it, so he listened to it in the car.
What did he say?
You don't want to know. No, I'm very lucky in that my family has been very mm-hmm. supportive of the book. I did get a lot of phone calls of, oh my God, you never told us. You know, there was a lot of that happened. Mm-hmm. But, and I have to say that publishing a book for me was very anxiety provoking. Like it caused a lot of panic and, you know, just because there was so much you had to do. I mean, I had to be in front of people all the time and talking about things that now are easy for me. But a few years ago when the book came out, it was really hard to talk about, you know, those personal things that now I realize so many people share them with me.
Yeah.
You know.
How long did it take to write the book?
We started the book in 2013 and wrote about 50 or 60 pages of it. And tried to get an agent and tried to get it published, and that didn't go anywhere. So we put it away. And then an agent found us in 2020, and we sold the book the week before they shut down the country for COVID. So Maggie and I, being health anxiety sisters, were convinced that one of us was going to get COVID. And so we wrote the book in a panic for 5 months straight on the phone, nonstop. Mm-hmm. And finished the book in 5 months. But that's very unusual. We just were so sure one of us was going to get sick, and we were, you know, we wrote the book out of anxiety.
Yeah.
On the phone.
Did you ever feel demotivated about writing this book or publishing it because you have to go back into your past?
Yes.
And
yes. Yeah. And in fact, there's a few sections of the book where I, you know, we interview people and we write their stories in italics. And I wrote some of my own stories in there, and I decided at the last minute to put my name on it. I originally was mm-hmm. going to use a pseudonym so that people wouldn't know it was me. Mm-hmm. And with spelling like ABBE, it's not like there's tons of us running around. People are going to know, you know.
Yeah.
I always think that my college boyfriend's wandering around going, oh man, I dodged a bullet. but I know it was definitely scary to reveal that stuff. But I think that writing Anxiety Sisters gave me the courage mm-hmm. to then write my current project, which is a memoir, where it's really the whole book is about my own experience with anxiety and mental illness. And I could not have done that if I hadn't dipped my toe in the water by revealing a few little stories that I thought, all right, mm-hmm. maybe I'll see if people will still, you know, hang out with me after they read this book.
Do you still have a therapist today?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I go through periods of time where we do it on Zoom. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's depending on how my anxiety is, depends on, you know, sometimes we'll go a month and not mm-hmm. necessarily meet. And then there's sometimes where we're talking almost every day. It's, you know, it's part of my self-care. that I know that I need, if I really go into a tailspin, I need help.
Mm-hmm. Since you do therapy on Zoom, like, what's an environment on your side? Like, is there anyone in the house?
Oh, no. Private. I go into my office, close the door. I only live with my husband now, so my kids are older. But, well, I guess the cats know everything. But I've threatened them. They're not going to go. They're not going to go public.
What do you think, like, younger kids should do if they start, like, realizing that, like, they start maybe having panic attacks about, like, stuff that they don't think they normally would, or, like, they start noticing stuff like that?
Well, luckily, now we have a vocabulary for these things. Like, we use the word anxiety a lot, and we didn't when I was a kid. So I would say, talk to someone, find a trusted adult and say, hey, I'm having these experiences. Because anxiety has become so quote unquote mainstream, it doesn't carry that same shame it did when I was younger. In other words, you know, I mean, I have a granddaughter. She's 6 years old and she is experiencing some anxiety, but she knew to talk to people about it because she's familiar with the word, you know, and not just because I wrote a book about it, but also because they talk about it on Sesame Street now, right? I mean, there's one of the characters has anxiety on Sesame Street, which is great, because what we want to do is normalize this like any other health condition, right? Physical and mental health are the same thing, you know? And so why is it that no one, if you break your leg and you're in a cast, people will bend over backward to help you, you know, carry things. They'll bring you casseroles for dinner. But if you have a panic attack, people are like, oh, snap out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still work to be done for people to understand that mental health issues are physical health issues. They're the same. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you can't find it out in a blood test doesn't mean that it isn't real, legitimate, and needs to be treated as such. And people who are experiencing those symptoms, that's terrifying.
Is it hard to, like, change therapists? Because if you start with one, you might, like, share a lot. And then you might have to, like, take a lot of time to be used to that other person.
Yeah, I've been through a lot of therapists, I have to say, in all my years. But my current therapist, I actually have two therapists, one for anxiety and the other one for an eating disorder, which is a whole other book. But anyway, so I work with two different therapists, and I've been working with them for about 10 years now. So that's nice, is that they know me, and I don't have to give them a lot of history because they know the history. They've been there for it. So I would say a therapist is great if that works for you. Not everybody benefits from it. There's plenty of people out there who, you know, talking to a stranger about things going on with them is anxiety provoking, and that would make it worse. So there's no one size fits all. There's no one way to manage anxiety. It's each day is different. Some days breathing, some days meditation, some days yoga, some days medication, some days curl up in the bed and wait for it to end. Right? We call that dip days, dive into bed, you know, just huddle under the covers. It will eventually pass. You know, I mean, sometimes that's the only thing you could do.
Do you have any questions? Okay. So to wrap it up, what is one advice you would give to young people, or like high schoolers nowadays, to how to cope with anxiety?
Don't go it alone. Don't try to shoulder it on your own. Don't assume that you can handle it on your own. Get some help. Talk to someone. Talk to a friend. Talk to a trusted adult. Get some help. Because the thing is, anxiety is treatable. It really is. I mean, if you had told me 20 years ago that I would be doing the things that I do, travel the world and talking about it, I would have said, I can't leave my house. You're crazy. I mean, it's treatable. And I'm living proof. And so is Maggie, my co-writer. So, you know, that's what I would tell people, any age, young, old, any age. Don't go it alone. There's so much help. There's free help everywhere. And if you're struggling, come to our Facebook page, Anxiety Sisterhood. Free to join. We do free webinars on techniques. We answer questions. And the people on that site, we moderate it. So we try to keep the trolls off. And it's incredibly supportive. Women of all ages, lots of men. Did you know 30% of our Anxiety Sisterhood are men?
Wow.
Yeah. So any type of person, anybody, any gender, any race, any religion, you know, anxiety is universal.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining our podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Of course.
I have really enjoyed your high school. What a great group of people. So welcoming. And the students that I just talked to, I'm so impressed. Really talented writers. Really talented writers in the room. So that's great.
Thank you. And you did.
They were amazing. You guys are such good interviewers.
Yes.
Did you guys take a class in interviewing?
No, it's my first time.
No way.